All right, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? That was, hey, let me introduce you to our next mission trip. Just kidding. It's out of this world. Hey, well, today we are wrapping up our missions emphasis month, and we've taken this time this month to dedicate ourselves to emphasizing our core values of just what our mission for missions here is at Miami Town. And over the past few weeks, we heard from several fellows. Joby spoke on involvement, Dan Sonnemeyer on education, and Terry West spoke on mission trips. And today, we're going to wrap up with our core value of prayer. Now, in the video clip that we witnessed today, we saw perhaps the most complex and the most powerful machine ever made in the history of man. The shuttle is just an absolute engineering marvel that has yet to been duplicated. It's taken tons of satellites into space, the Hubble telescope, space station supplies and materials, has done a told amount of scientific testing, and I don't know how many astronauts it's taken into space. Now, the force that is necessary to lift a 4.5 million pound machine into space is incredible. Now, the shuttle has two main solid rocket boosters and three main engines to get it out of into orbit and get us away from Earth's gravity. Now, each solid rocket booster is capable of producing over 1,300 tons of thrust, and each main engine is capable of doing 170 tons of thrust. Now, I tried figuring how much thrust is equal to horsepower. But I can tell you, I'm not that smart, and I don't know if there's any engineers in here that can do that, but the one thing I can tell you is it's a lot of power. It's a lot of power. You know, within 30 seconds of flight, the shuttle is traveling 500 miles per hour. In 6 minutes, it's going 11,000 miles per hour, and it's spending just about a half a ton of fuel per second. In a matter of minutes, the shuttle has gone from 0 miles per hour to 5 miles per second. Now, I thought Joby drove fast on the interstate, but that is fast. Now, I've never been to a shuttle launch live. Has anybody here ever seen one live? First service, there were several. Okay, it's pretty awesome, right? Okay, I've never seen one live, but I've been told that you can see it for miles and miles and miles from the launch site. And not only can you see it, but you hear it. And you can just feel the power that comes from the takeoff of that shuttle launch. The point that I'm trying to make here is that it takes a lot of physical power to get that big machine into space. But it doesn't match the power that's available to the Christian through the power of prayer. You know, the physical power it takes to shuttle into space, you know, we're used to seeing things in the physical realm. It's easy to see. We smell it, we see it, we touch, all those other senses. But it's difficult for us sometimes to see things in the spiritual realm. So it can be difficult at times for us to fully comprehend or fully understand the power of prayer. You know, every effective missionary that I know, is prayer is their number one request from fellow Christians. Everything else is secondary. Prayer is number one. Because the missionaries that focus and they have prayer partners, they realize that they are focusing on one of the greatest powers that the Christian has, and that is the power of prayer. You know, it is often said that prayer is indeed the mighty engine that is to move the missionary work. So why the emphasis on prayer for missionaries? Well, I believe, that prayer is indeed powerful. But secondly, let's face it. You just take a look around our own community. We can take a look around our own country. And you can take a look around the world, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that there are forces of evil that challenges us every day. The missionary is not exempt to this. In fact, because they carry the cause of Christ to the nations, these forces of evil can be intensified. It is indeed a spiritual battle out there, and our missionaries are on the front lines. The scripture text we'll be looking at today is from Ephesians 6. And first, I'll be breaking this up in two sections. It reads as follows. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Friends, Satan is real, and he is active. There are some countries he's held unswayed power for centuries, where he has distorted the people's thinking. He's persistent in his methods, deceit, lies, distortion of the truth, and so on, and so on. And he counterattacks in an undreamed number of ways, and he fights to the last ditch. Now, I've been fortunate enough to go on several mission trips, and I have personally witnessed Satan's attacks on people while on mission trips, whether it's voodoo or idol worship or just plain old hatred to Christians. I've seen it. It's out there, and it's real. You know, while in Haiti, seeing someone doing voodoo or seeing someone being overcome with voodoo is a sight you soon don't forget. There was one day we were in Gonaïves at the Church of Living Water, and we were praying on the grounds where one day Salonique hopes to build a church. And a group of us men, we were there praying in a circle, and about 15 yards away was a man just going around in a circle. And we asked Salonique, what's he doing? And he said, he is putting a voodoo curse on this land because he doesn't want a church to be built here. He's been doing it for a while because if you look real close at that photo, you can see he's actually got a path worn in a circle where he's been doing it and doing it and doing it. We've also was at a worship service in Haiti where we saw a young lady being overcome by a voodoo experience. And the men of the church carried her out with her arms and her legs, and she was stiff as a board. And the only way I can liken it to it would be like a David Copperfield act where he's hypnotizing somebody, and somebody's got their head on a chair and their feet on a chair, and there's nothing's in between, and it was stiff. The body is stiff. It was just like that. While in India, I've had the opportunity, I went to a Hindu worship service one evening. And there you're surrounded by all types of idols. There are idols that have multiple arms and legs, and there are idols that have features that, you know, they're human, maybe not human, I don't know what they are. And there's actually an idol that is decorated with flowers that represents the male organ. That is what they worship, and that is how they worship. Yes, Satan is indeed alive and well, and he's ready to do whatever he can take to prevent the spreading of the gospel to those who need to hear it. Now, Paul says here in Ephesians 6 that we are to put on the full armor of God. And he goes on to describe the individual pieces of the armor. And he relates them to our spiritual armor. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. And the sword, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of truth. And the sword of the Spirit, actually. And after listing all these things that Paul lists, these physical armor, pieces of armor, he lists perhaps the most important thing in that spiritual armor, and that is prayer. In verse 18 forward, it reads, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Keep in mind, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." You know, the act of prayer is simply a way of talking or communicating with God. And Paul tells us that to pray in all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. So we can see that prayer comes in many shapes, sizes, uses, and purposes. So I'm sure most of us here today, probably at some point in our life, has perhaps prayed for hours upon hours for a situation we find ourselves in or someone we're close to a situation they're in, whether it's a health issue, a job issue, a relationship, you name it, whatever. I'm sure we've taken time to pray for hours at a time. And then on the other spectrum, we may have just simply said thanks for an answered prayer. Or who hasn't been able to look at the horizons and see the beauty of a sunrise or a beauty of a sunset, and then look at the expanse of the night sky and see the stars and the planets just placed so, and just say, my God, how great thou art. You see, prayer is indeed powerful. You know, prayer does complete the full armor of God. Imagine, if you will, wearing all this armor, okay? Let's see. We got the belt, we got the breastplate, the foot gear, the shield, the helmet, the sword. We're ready to go. Now, if you just envision, anybody seen the movie The Gladiator? All right. That's what I kind of see this vision like, this person ready to go into battle. But the one thing that you don't see, and I liken it almost to a force field around you, is prayer. It's that little extra edge when you go into battle. Indeed, prayer does complete the full armor of God. You know, missionaries, they need our prayers. You know, not everyone here can financially support a missionary all the time. Not everyone here is going to be able to go on a mission trip. But there is something that each and every one of us here can do on a daily basis, and that is we can all pray for our missionaries. That's something that each and every one of us can do. Now, I'm going to show you a very easy way. It's a little five-step piece here. We're going to be using our fingers of how to pray for missionaries. One, two, three, four, five. Now, first of all, I need everybody to get there. Get their fingers loosened up here because we're going to be doing this counting, okay? Now, you know, one of the things that I asked Dusty, I said, hey, yeah, Dusty, you know, when you're up there getting in front, how do you know people are tracking with you? And he said, well, you know, just try to figure out a little test or something. Just kind of catch in with them. So since we got our fingers loosened up, everybody got their fingers loosened up? Okay, now, everybody take their thumb like this, and then their index finger, and place it like this. Everybody got that? Okay, now listen, now, if you can, put it on your chin like this. Okay, you guys did pretty bad. This is your chin. We got a few people. So that's pretty good. Obviously, you guys aren't tracking with me, I guess. So that was bad. I'm sorry. But it sure was fun up here. But anyhow, we're going to use our hands. One, two, three, four, five. Five little steps. So when we pray, you see our typical folding hands there, ready for prayer. And it ends up being our thumbs is what's closest to us. So since the thumb is the closest thing to us, we can start by praying for those missionaries that's closest to us. They're the easiest ones to remember. You know, if you're not close to a missionary, choose one. Find out about them. Find out about their mission, their family, their country. For me, it's Jay Henry. I met Jay about 20 years ago or so, and for whatever reason, the first time we met, there was some type of connection right away. And then over the years, Jay and I have become very good friends. And actually, he and his entire family, we've all enjoyed each other's company. We're very good friends. We have the same love of the outdoors, and we have a mutual respect and love for one another. And we've shared some of our life's highs and lows, and his family is always welcome to my home, and we do special things together when we can. You know, it's In India, the cow is a holy animal, and you can't harm it, can't butcher it, can't eat it. It's a holy animal. So when Jay comes to the States, when he comes to my house, we always will grill out. And the joke is, we'll always have some holy cow when he comes to my house. So Jay is indeed number one for me. But the question is, who is your missionary? Again, if you don't have one, pick one. Get to know them. Read their newsletters, their website. There are various ones that have different websites. Several have links to our church's website. When they come into town, do something special with them. Now, here's an open invitation. This coming spring, we're going to have the Grundy Mountain Mission Choir here. So we're going to need some people to take in some kids for a couple nights. So here would be a good opportunity to get your feet wet on hosting or getting involved in missions. If you already have a missionary that you're close to, get closer to them and pray for them. That's number one, our thumb. Next is our index finger, or our pointing finger. And we can use this finger to remind us to pray for those missionaries who teach, who instruct, and who heal. This includes missionaries who are evangelists and teachers and doctors. Nearly all the missionaries that we support here at Miamitown run schools as a part of their mission, as far as reaching the lost. And they develop and train church leaders for future growth. The kids that go to their schools, they are trained to be better citizens for their country. There are some of our missions that they have health clinics as a way of reaching the lost. You know, we've had folks here, right here at Miamitown, who have been on the mission field, who have either preached or taught or done VBSs in the mission field. You know, when those folks go out there, they need our prayers. They need support and wisdom in trying to reach the lost for Christ, especially when there's language barriers out there. So, hey, if anyone here is an excellent teacher, you're from the medical field, hey, think about using your talents for God and make an impact for Christ in the world. Now we've got one, two. Now the middle finger is the longest finger. Okay, it's the tallest finger on our hand, and it can remind us to pray for church leaders. This would include leaders from within our own local church and leaders in churches throughout the world. We need to pray for those people who supervise and direct the missionary outreach to the nations. You know, sometimes it's easy when you can just hand somebody a check and pat them on the back and make them feel good. But there's other times there are tough, tough decisions that have to be made, and it's not easy. And those decisions can impact the cause of Christ for generations. So we need to pray for our church leaders. The ring finger, okay? Now, you know, you sit there and you wiggle your fingers around. That thing's kind of a little awkward, you know? Now, my mom, who taught 50 piano lessons for 50 years in our home, she can testify that that ring finger, that's the weakest finger on our hand. So this finger can help us to remind to pray for those missionaries who are discouraged, in trouble, or in pain. You know, discouraged missionaries are more vulnerable to temptations. They can feel overloaded. They can feel lonely. They can be filled with tension. You know, how many times have we heard of people, which I'll leave the one, two, three, the person in the fourth row of nameless so other people can hear my sermon. But how many times have we heard people who've been in other countries where they're harassed, brought in for questioning, arrested, shot at, and you know, either of the associates of them have been martyred for the cause of Christ. You know, back in 2004, Mike Ladd, Mike Nakoff, and Ralph Ramsey went to visit Brother Safah in Egypt. And while they were there, the entire time that they were there, they had armed guards with them for protection. So imagine just living like that 24/7, 365 days a year. Do you not think that would add a little bit to your stress? I think so. The little finger, okay? This little finger, that's our little pinky. And Jesus said, the least shall be the greatest among you. So we can let our little pinky to remind us to pray for those people who need to hear Jesus the most. We can pray that their eyes and their hearts would be open to see him. Let us remind us that it's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about Jesus and eternity with him. There are millions, millions upon millions of people who've never heard the good news, one word of the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's been said it's only good news if it gets there in time. And that this generation of Christians, and that is us, is responsible for this generation of souls on this earth. Pray for those who need to hear about Jesus. So there we have it. Using our hand is a five-step tool to pray for missionaries. Pray for those who are closest to us, for those who teach, instruct, and heal, for those who are in leadership, for those who are discouraged, and for those who need to hear more about Jesus. You know, the grand reality of everything that we do here as a church is bringing others to Christ. And a saying I've heard recently is the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. And I certainly don't want to become a rock. But that's what it's all about, is telling others about Christ and giving that opportunity to others, just not outside these doors, but to the four corners of the world. There will be a day that every knee will bow. There will be a day that every knee will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to do whatever we can to make that happen. You know, we're coming at a time of year where we're going to be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's one of the greatest gifts ever given to mankind. He came to walk among us. He healed the sick. He taught us, he suffered, he died, was buried, he rose again, and he rose to heaven, all that we may have the hope of eternal life with him. Just not us here today, but all peoples for all time throughout the world.